Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. For today's podcast, we're going to be taking a deep dive into autonomous vehicles and we'll be discussing the safe deployment of autonomous vehicles. And to do that, we're very kindly joined by the chairman of Guidant. Guidant is a tech capital portfolio company. Of course, tech capital is listed on the AIM market here in London. So Harold Braun, chairman of Guidant, very much welcoming you to the podcast today.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. Happy to be here.
So, Harold, we're going to be discussing Guidant technology in some detail. We're going to be looking at the wider industry. We're also going to be looking at the world's biggest technology event, which you participated in just in the last week, CES over in America. We're going to be talking about what you saw there and the relevance to Guidant. But before we get into the details, Harold, please would you be able to give us an introduction, first of all, to Guidant, and also a little introduction to yourself and your experience?
Yeah, let's do that. My name is Harold Braun. I'm originally from Germany. I'm also an American citizen. I live here in Boca Raton, Florida, since more than 20 years. I came over from Asia. So I was handling for Siemens, the Asian market. And then I got a call to be the president and CEO of Siemens Communication here in the US. And the headquarter of Siemens Communication was here in Boca Raton. So that was, of course, very good, a very attractive market in telecommunication. So, and I have been all my life here in telecommunication, from the beginning, more than 40 years now. So, and have seen a lot, you can imagine. And then after Siemens, we created another company. I created Harris Tritex Networks, which was a mobile backhaul company, put two companies together. That was when I left 2008 Siemens, because there was a merger between Siemens and Nokia. And so I created my own company. We brought them to NASDAQ, still the NASDAQ, AVNW, Aviat Networks. So wonderful, career in telecommunication. And in 2019, actually, we founded Guidant. And for me, being that long in telecommunication, everything is connected. And I was thinking all the time, what is not connected really yet, where I believe that that needs to be connected? And there are, in principle, a couple of use cases which I thought would be worthwhile to do it out of different reasons. We might get into that later on, one of which was connected cars. So that was the start, where I then interacted with Tech Capital, with Dr. Gross, and we created in principle the company Guidant 2019. And we had a very good run since then, because the industry is actually evolving and developing very strongly. And that happened 2019. And in Guidant, we have created a company which your question was, is a software company. We develop software on top of autonomous vehicle software in these autonomous vehicles. So we are not developing and we are not manufacturing vehicles. We are developing software. Guidant is a software company. And our mission is to improve the safety and availability of autonomous vehicles in a sustainable way. And that is that what we are after. And again, this is a 100% software company. Of course, you need some hardware to do it, for example, on the connectivity side.
Thank you. So, Harold, you were speaking about your experience there. And of course, your skill set could have been applied in numerous different industries. What was it in particular? Of course, you say you're a software company, but what was it about self-driving vehicles and autonomous vehicles that attracted you to take your skill set and apply that to that industry?
Yeah, there are different reasons for that. But one of the main reason was traffic safety. When you see today that we have, or we can, as Guidant, we can address important transportation problems. Number one, by far, is the traffic safety. Today, we have 1.3 million people cut out of their lives globally on traffic accidents. So the global death of traffic accidents is 1.35 million people on a global basis. So that means we can create systems which know from each other and avoid traffic safety issues. Yeah. So that is one of the main reasons we can make transportation services more secure and more safe. That was one of the biggest things. Second, traffic congestions. You know, we're standing in traffic congestions almost every day, and that, of course, is time which we cannot deploy for our leisure or for business or whatever. So that's the big second reason. We have to address the traffic systems worldwide. Then you have seen during the pandemic and also other situations that we have driver labor shortages. There are some areas which people don't want to drive cars anymore. Then you have a lot of operational fleets. And the efficiencies of these fleets are paramount. And some of the fleets are slowed down by human drivers, right? And, you know, and then, of course, when you see that every autonomous vehicle is, as a basis, an electric vehicle, we can address also a last point to that, also the pollution that traditionally combustion engine and traffic congestions causing. So the efficient electric autonomous vehicles are more sustainable. So it is a complete package of making a faster, more effective and efficient transportation system while doing something good for the environment.
Thank you. So we're going to move on now and we're going to talk a little bit about CES. We're going to be discussing a bit later on in the podcast the specifics of Guidant technologies, but you were last week, Harold, at CES over in the United States, the world's biggest technology event. It attracts about 100,000 people over the space of a few days. So, you know, of course, with the technology and software that you're developing and implementing, it was, you know, the perfect place to really network with the rest of the industry. And of course, you know, it's not just autonomous vehicles there, you know, it's a wide range of technologies. But, you know, Harold, you know, from the feedback that you had, the people that you were speaking to and sort of looking at what else was happening there, how was Guidant fitting in to the autonomous vehicle space from what you can see in the developments within the industry? And, you know, what was the feedback that you had from people that you spoke to at the event?
Yeah, great question. Thank you, Jonathan. So, as I mentioned before, I have been 40 years plus in the telecommunication industry, and I have seen everything from electromechanic switching system to today's everything connected IoT business. A wide range of activity. The promise of everything connected wherever you are with on any mobile device is getting more real year over year. And there are two major events in the world capturing this, or conferences or shows, whatever you want to say to these events. The number one is the Mobile World Congress in Barcelona. Every year since many, many decades, they attract more than 100,000 participants. This conference, this Congress is focusing on the network side, mostly, as the word says, on the mobile network side. Everything connected ends up at one point in the mobile network. second biggest event is the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, also attracting more than 100,000 people, which I was last week, I think it was, in the beginning of the year. And this show focuses more on the user application side, on the apps side, on the use cases side. So you, in principle, marry two shows together. And by the way, they are slowly morphing together. The Mobile World Congress on the network side, then driven, of course, by the application displayed in the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. So the one cannot live without the other. Therefore, it's very important to be at both shows, which, of course, I am. Over the years, I think I have just missed the Mobile World Congress during the COVID times. That was it, when the show was reduced or canceled. That was the only times in the 40-year period. So, and this is very important. What we have seen over the last 5-7 years, that the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas got from consumer electronics like TVs and whatever the consumers normally have, actually transitioned into almost an automotive show based on EV vehicle applications and autonomous vehicles. And again, the word vehicle is very important. It's not only cars, it's delivery devices, it's trucks, it's everything what is moving. And Jonathan, during the extensive days there, we have seen so many in innovations, and of course they claim that they have the most innovations displayed in a year. We have seen, and I was there with some colleagues, we have seen not one product, solution, or device which was not connected, either via Bluetooth, via Wi-Fi, which ends up in the mobile network. So it was everything connected. So there is no better thing for us to see how things, how devices talk to each other, talk in the end of the day directly to each other or via the internet or via, of course, the mobile network to each other. So for us in Guidant, this was an absolutely important show to see what actually the OEM manufacturers are doing. So I stopped there for a second. So, and then of course I continue. So any questions so far for setting the stage or contextualize this two biggest show on earth?
Now, of course, when you were meeting with people at the event, you're saying it's starting to morph into one that is focused very much on EVs and automotives. You know, your particular technology, you know, the conversations that you were having with people, how do you see it fitting into the rest of the network that was present there at these events?
Yes, very important statement. Actually, therefore, we went there and to validate, what we're doing. We know, of course, we're talking to many of these participants at the show and the exhibitors, of course, also before. We are not just waiting for the shows, but of course, there are many, many more exhibitors there. In particular, our interest was on the vehicle side, right? We call it the people movers. They look like spaceships. Sometimes we call them the toasters. They look like a toaster, right? Where you have 6 to 12 14 people getting into, but there's no steering wheel, there's no nothing in it. So we were interested in different areas, the autonomous vehicle as such, the ecosystems around it, and everything what is around this vehicle. So here's the biggest learning, and that is one very key topic for us. A teleoperation solution such as we are developing and putting into the market is key for successful deployment of autonomous vehicles. There will be no successful deployment of autonomous vehicles or AV vehicles without a teleoperation solution. Why? Because they have safety aspects and there are also regulations in the US and also in Europe, are several laws which indicates that you cannot drive an autonomous vehicles on public roads with some side of oversight from a human. So we call that human in the loop, meaning that you have, when you operate an AV, that you have to have the ability that a human can assist in case there is a mishap situation. And everybody we talk to, from the big companies to the smaller companies, subscribed to the statement a teleoperation solution is key for a successful deployment of autonomous vehicles. That, of course, is a very, very important statement. Second learning and second validation of our technology was that we validated that our glass-to-glass latency is one of the biggest features and the biggest safety criteria, of course, we have, meaning how long does a signal travel glass-to-glass, means glass of the camera in a vehicle to the glass of a monitor, where we can oversee what happened actually with the vehicles. This glass-to-glass latency, we are the lowest in the market. We have not seen anybody, and we have also validated that, which got into the range we are actually claiming. So that, of course, is a big validation as well. Everybody has somehow a little bit of different approach to teleoperation. Some have assisted teleoperation, saying that doing everything with software, and when the software says, oh, there is a big rock on the street, you have to stop, well, then the car stops. But we would take over that vehicle and would go around the rock, right? So there are many other aspects of teleoperation, and we do it our way, fully automated, of course, then. And when we see an obstacle where we feel that a human have to be involved. By the way, we have also a patent on the teleoperation side, which is very unusual to any of our competitors. And second, we have also a patent on predict and prevent issues. That means we can predict that something will happen. And of course, then our remote control operator in the remote monitoring and control center gets involved as analyze the situation. And in case it's needed, the operator will take control over the vehicle and maneuver it around situations. So that was very, very clear validation of our second big claim of the latency. Number three, we saw and talked to many vehicle manufacturers which need to have a tailored solution for a particular situation. They claim almost fully autonomy, but they say, well, in some cases we better would have a human validating it as well, right? In specific cases, crossing a public road, going into some dangerous areas or whatever, there are many ideas from these manufacturers where they said, well, we would like to have a teleoperation solution involved in our vehicle, in our software, and there are actually also requirements from the regulator to put that in. And that was the number fourth big learning, is that we anticipate in the future that this software, and of course the software is not alone, the product, it goes together with the vehicle components in the car, like sensors, cameras, LiDAR, everything what is a part of an autonomous vehicles these days, that teleoperation software will be a part of the central control system of an autonomous vehicle. It will be integrated. And that, of course, for us is perfect. We can integrate our software, and that, of course, scales the business. We can integrate our software in such kind of platforms. We are agnostic to any of the boards or software solutions the car manufacturers or the vehicle manufacturers are building. And you know, we can put you know, our software with the interfaces which are necessary for that into any of the vehicle control systems.
Fantastic. Thank you. We will discuss specific applications of that technology a little bit later on in the podcast. But obviously, we discussed there, Harold, you gave very detailed information on, you know, how the technology works. But, you know, you've got three main solutions that technology is put into. Would you be able to run us through those quickly and just a little bit about how each one works? So you've obviously got the remote monitor and control center. You touched on the low latency video streaming, the glass to glass side of things. And of course, there's an additional one in the regenerative shock absorbers. Would you have to just give us a few words on each of those? And then we can go on to discuss specific applications of each.
Yes. Yeah, we have another product, which is, of course, also patented. So we have, as I mentioned before, we have in total 9 patents now in the company. Of course, for you know, a young company, this is a lot, and we have to thank also Tech Capital to help us there to file patents and make sure that our IP is protected. And one of our product that goes more into the sustainable kind of mission, I mentioned before that we have the mission to improve safety, which I just mentioned. Well, with the remote monitoring and control systems and the human in the loop, but doing that also in a sustainable way. And in this sustainable way is that we want to generate energy from movements in vehicles which are normally dissipated. They are just going into nirvana, and this one of these movements of the cars are from shock absorbers. When you imagine sedan cars or trucks or whatever devices, they have normally shock absorbers. So we have a system and a patent, and of course we talk to many companies at the Consumer Electronics Show, as I mentioned, right? There are many vehicle companies, and they're displaying their chassis and the components, and guess what? Every chassis, and you know, has shock absorbers. Now, our shock absorbers goes because of the movements, up and down movements of cars, which coming from the energy from the chassis of the car, like let's say a sedan, 5,000 curbs at pounds, up and down, and of course the roughness of the road. So there are two elements going into the shock absorbers, and that movement of the shock absorbers we generate energy with. We put that energy into a generator. The generator turns out electric energy and gets that into the again into the battery management system of a car. In the end of the day, the benefits of that from one charge, let's say a sedan, 60 miles an hour on a normal road. We call that Class A road. So that's are the roads you and I travel almost every day on. Would then generate per shock absorber 100 watts. And this 100 watts in the end of the day times 4 or how many shock absorbers you have in different vehicles can create up to 8 to 12 miles additional range. That, of course, is a big range extension, and many of the car manufacturers and of the OEMs delivering to car and vehicle manufacturers are very interested in this technology. So we have prototypes, we have our own lab where we can prove and can demonstrate different roughnesses, so to say, of the car, of the roads, but also different weights of the car, so that we can see what energy per shock with our technology, with our patented technology, we can actually generate. And you can imagine there's a lot of companies wanted to test it themselves in their own lab, and then get, hopefully, very quickly to a deployment. So that is one of our products where we say we can we have an energy harvesting product with a regenerative shock absorber.
Thank you. So now, as I mentioned, we're going to be looking, Harold, if we may, at some of the applications for your technology so far. So I believe you're obviously based in Boca Raton, but one of your most recent applications for the technology was actually on the campus where you're based.
Yeah, or where we are based in the future, right? So we have signed a lease there at the Boca Raton Innovation Campus, a huge business campus. This campus is the largest business campus in Florida and had pre-COVID 10,000 people hosted there. So it's a huge campus. And the campus is kind of a, I would say, a Google-like, Facebook kind of campus, a huge area, very nice amenities. There are, you know, gyms, you know, three restaurants, a conference center in there, and very nice architecture, by the way, from Michael Brauer. That was the former IBM headquarters in Boca. A lot of history done there, right? So that would be another podcast, you know, what is the history of this building? So actually IBM did develop there first and showed that first to the world, the desktop. And you can imagine then later on, many people were there from Bill Gates over, you know, Mr. Apple, so to say, right? So everybody, you know, Steve Jobs, of course, I mean, you know, they were all there and discussing with these people. In this campus, there are now many companies, also startup companies. And in this campus, we are going to put our new remote monitoring and control center in. So, and of course, in the world, there is already innovation campus in there, right? And since it is big, one of the application, the management team, very visionary, by the way, the general manager and also the CEO, they said, well, we need to get rid of the combustion engine buses bringing people around the campus and also to the nearby railway station. We want to do that with your technology. Okay, fine. We signed an LOI. We are discussing and we are negotiating the contract right now to deploy their autonomous vehicle shuttle services in geo-fenced areas, right? So there's a big campus, but we have also to cross a public road to the nearby railway station, and they want to deploy autonomous shuttle services. Wonderful, right? So that people can use that and, of course, you know, see that, you know, can do that also on demand so that they don't wait in the heat here during the summer, you know, on the bus stations there, right, or on the bus stop stations, and can do that on demand. So in principle, it is a geofenced area with one crossing public roads with low-speed autonomous shuttle services with a fixed route. A perfect application for us. And actually, this application is the first application on autonomous vehicles we see almost everywhere today, because we are far away from a big, huge deployment of autonomous vehicles level 5. So total autonomy. We are far away from that right now. But in geofenced areas, this is a way of moving people around. That is one underpinning of our go-to market. But there's another one. A university comes to us. Another university very close to us were asking about that. Then we were with one of our demos in the TV stations here in the area. And then a big country club came to us and said, we want to move people also around in our country club. And we don't want to do that with the big buses. We want to do that with agile, small, autonomous vehicle transportation services. Wonderful, right? So there are areas like, when I talk about geofenced business campuses, university campuses, residential areas, hospital areas, right? And so these are all first move advantages. And on top of this, also smart cities where they have selected small routes, for example, the restaurant routes, the medical route, right, where they transport people from their homes to certain doctors or to some malls or certain restaurant areas. So that is another project we are working on. And while I'm on this, we won also at the end of last year our first RFP with the Jacksonville Transportation Authority up north from Boca Raton here in Jacksonville, which is a smart city project. We won there with our tail operation solution. So these are in principle the applications we see so far. And since that is in geofenced areas, we have also now created within our technology that we have several mechanisms to connect. So it comes back to the connectivity, which we started on, right? Everything is connected. So we can connect in principle to three different mobile services. Number one, to the public mobile network. Number two, we can create a private mobile network in a geofenced area based on certain standards, which we have here in the US and might come also somewhere else. In the US, it's CBRS standards. And number three, satellite communication. So hopefully we can do that also low orbit. Then we can even drop more of the latency down. So in principle, public mobile networks, private mobile networks, satellites networks. So, and then of course the key of that is that we can handle bandwidth, dynamic bandwidth there, and we can also make sure that we can switch between the networks to assure reliability and safety. So I think we are the only company right now in that market, in that field, that can do that.
That's fascinating, Harold. Thank you. So what I'd like to do now is, you know, we're going to finish off after this with looking at, you know, what Guidant are going to be doing in the year ahead. But before we do that, Harold, it would be good to get your view on the autonomous vehicle market and the driverless market, and, you know, how you see it progressing from where you are now, from where Guidant technology is, and you obviously knowing how the industry's moving to a situation that some people would look at autonomous vehicles at one point in the future, where we have a lot of driverless cars on the road, and, you know, how we get to that point. I mean, what's the roadmap from where we are now to getting to a point where, you know, people are getting into cars and basically not driving them themselves?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let me set the stage on this. So the problem to be solved and what we believed and what we see is the following. And it comes back to that, what I said earlier. Autonomous vehicles have the potential to address important transportation problems. But there's a catch. The promise of being fully autonomous is overstated. Unless concerns about safety, availability, and operational cost, and public trust, by the way, this is one of the biggest things that people still think that autonomous vehicles are not safe, right? We need to gain public trust. This needs to be addressed. If this is not addressed, the AV industry will not get off the ground. That is for sure. And the belief systems and the benefits of the AVs will be delayed, and also they will be not realized. So we have to work on, number one, making sure that people think and see and experience that there is a trust in autonomous vehicles, that we can get the operational costs down, that the availability is there, that there is no range anxiety, for example, and that we address public safety, right? And when we solve these problems, then we can get into full autonomy. From my point of view, we are many, many, many years, if not decades, away from fully autonomous vehicles everywhere where we are and where we see cars on the road right now. So at the moment, there is no deployment worldwide on fully autonomy. So fully autonomy, let me define that. That means vehicles driving around public roads everywhere in the public environment without steering wheels, without pedals. So the vehicle is just driving itself with the technology we talked about, right? And of course, from our point of view, with a teleoperation or a human in the loop solution of any sort. So that will take some time. And we see that the first approach, coming back to that, what I said earlier, is that we started, and we see it everywhere in the world, with low-speed vehicles in a geo-fenced area on fixed routes. That seems to be the beginning of everything. And then with that, we gain public trust. We see that we can get off the safety driver in some vehicles. We reduce the operational cost, the availability, and all this kind of stuff, what I talked earlier about. And with that, we can also then solve the traffic safety issues, reduce the global death, traffic congestions, labor shortages, everything what I mentioned before. So that's how I see the industry evolving. We are in front of a wave. It will happen. It is happening. What I saw in Las Vegas showed me that this industry is alive and kicking. Yesterday, I saw an announcement also from one of the teleoperation companies that they did a round A investment, and that was the biggest investment so far in teleoperation solutions. So with other words, what I saw happening, or what I see happening at the Mobile World Congress last week in Las Vegas at the Consumer Electronics Show, and seeing in the market with all our interaction on a daily basis with different providers and vendors, it's happening. It's happening small step. We are in front of the wave, but better in front of the base than being crushed later on when you don't start. So we started, and we started in the area I just mentioned, in the geofence area, low speed fixed route areas. So that's my view of fully autonomy. Maybe fully autonomy never happens, but we are believing that it will happen, that we will see a world in the future that a vehicle know from each other and also driving, autonomously through the cities and through the countryside. That's what I believe, Jonathan.
That's great. Thank you very much, Harold. So to finish off now, people that are listening and, of course, digested your views and what Guidant have been doing, what can you point them towards as particular milestones or key achievements that you'll be looking to make over maybe the next year or the year after as you develop your technology and find more applications and begin the rollouts?
Yes. So one of the big things for this year is that we building our second remote monitoring and control center in a real big way at the Boca Raton Innovation Campus. So we have the space. It's very important that this building is a Class A building with independent power supplies and hurricane, earthquake proofed. And we're moving into that building and building our second remote monitoring and control center. This is one of the key milestones in the first quarter, second quarter of this year. So we're building that up with a huge video wall and making it, of course, state of the art. That's one thing. Second thing, we need to deploy. We have a couple of customers which we have to deploy our solution and integrate our solution with. These are the customers which we won, Jacksonville Transportation Authority with a certain vehicle they choose. Number two, make sure that we have the contract signed with the vehicles we discussed for the Boca Raton Innovation Campus. That is also an integration to certain vehicles. We will also address and investigate other vehicle types where we have to integrate our solution. This is a big milestone for sort of the beginning of this, the half of this year, so June, July, that we are also select other vehicle companies to see where and then integrate our solution with, and then work with major manufacturers to integrate our software in their vehicle control solutions. So that, of course, are the big milestones. The smaller milestones are, of course, make sure that we have our roadmap, our development roadmap defined. We have a workshop coming up next week in the company where we have certain features which goes from ideas to the roadmap, the technology roadmap, and so that we make sure that these features like video stitching, for example, putting different video streams together to one big video stream, so making sure that these functionalities are in the roadmap. So that is one big thing. And then, of course, winning customer. We need to scale the business, winning customers. We have so many opportunities, but we need also make sure that the company grows with the opportunities and that we can fulfill our obligations. Therefore, we are hiring. So we are hiring people in the software spaces and in the software area and in sales to interact and make sure that we can deliver on that what we want to deliver and make sure that we rock the market.
Indeed, Harold. Well, that's been fascinating. And just as a note to listeners, if you want to find out some more information about Guidant, do check out the notes to this podcast where there'll be a link through to their website where you'll be able to find further information on the key elements that Harold has outlined, including their technology and some of the news updates that he's touched on there. So again, that will be a link in the notes to this podcast. Do check that out. So Harold, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you, Jonathan, for having me.
Thank you. It was a pleasure having you. And just as a final note, of course, Guidant is a portfolio company of tech capital listed here in London on AIM under the ticker TEK. Thank you very much for everyone for listening.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember all investment involves risk.